We're on page 22 in the lesson book, and we're still in Acts chapter 2. Maybe tonight we'll get through these couple of verses, verses 41, 42 out of Acts chapter 2. We're down to question number 7, if I mark this correctly. Question number 7 says, name 4 things as stated here in which the early church continued steadfastly.
The apostles' doctrine, apostles' fellowship, and the breaking of bread and in prayers.
Yep, those are the 4 things listed there. And we defined, I believe, steadfastly as, well, listed in there somewhere. I lost the question.
Number four.
So they showed devotion. That's in this case steadfastly showing devotion to preserve and to not faint, according to Thayer's Bible Dictionary. So when it talked about in the apostles' doctrine, number 8, what is the apostles' doctrine? It is the Word of God. It's the teachings. Now, did they have in this time, point in time, did they have the written Word?
No.
No. But they did have the apostles if they were there in Jerusalem. So they had the horse's mouth, as we might say. And remember that this is in the time at which the Holy Spirit was telling them what they were to say. So the apostles' doctrine was the apostles' teachings, doctrine meaning teaching, and it was being done but with help from the Holy Spirit, inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The second thing mentioned was fellowship, and let's see, that's on down. We're going to circle back to question 9. Question 10 says define fellowship. So what is fellowship?
It's a friendly association of those who share a common interest.
Yep. And in this case, Christianity is the common interest. And the breaking of bread, which will be the next lesson, if you're looking ahead, what is the breaking of bread?
It's
Lord's Supper. And I think that's it. We'll get into a big discussion that next week, or the week after. And then the fourth one was prayers. Prayers, them getting together to petition God on behalf. Now, question number 9 says, from the following verses, list at least 5 reasons why, like them, must we continue in the apostles' doctrine. And hope you're able to read all these. In John 16, verse 13, the Bible says in this passage, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. So what do we get out of that verse?
The Spirit of truth guided the apostles.
Yep.
And we must continue so that we can be guided.
Yep. So the reason that we need to continue the apostles' doctrine, because it is the truth, as guided by the Holy Spirit. Number 2, or letter B, Romans 1, verse 16, popular verse, or we used to hear it quoted a lot. where he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So why is this important to the apostles' doctrine?
It tells us that if we study the Bible or the gospel, that it'll give us salvation.
Yep. It gives us salvation. It has the power to save. It is powerful. And because of this, we ought to study it. We ought to teach it. Or continue in it, I guess, in the spirit of the question. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9.
He talks about that anybody preaches another gospel, but he's going to be accursed.
Yep.
We need to continue in the apostles' doctrine so we can recognize falsity.
Yep, so we can recognize it. So we can go recognize it or go against the error. What I find interesting about verses 8 and 9 is it's a repeated warning. We don't see that. We see that sometimes, but it's very rare in the New Testament where we see something like this repeated, where he says, you know, though we or an angel from heaven preach any of the gospel to you rather than that which you have preached, we have preached, and let it be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. And then I like verse 10 because it asks a thought question there. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? If I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So he puts it pretty plain right there. We got to stand up. We got to go against error. And that's another good reason to continue in the apostles' doctrine so we can know what error is. Letter D, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, which has already been partly quoted tonight. The Bible says in this passage, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So another reason why we should continue in the apostle doctrine is based on this verses.
It helps us be perfect so that we do good works.
Yep, helps complete us. Yep, and because it's inspired of God, it's profitable, it's instructive, causes us to be better people. And that's kind of the idea, one of the ideas comes out of these verses. It helps us to be better people. Jude, verse 3. Jude is interesting.
I can now but, say I've read the whole book of Jude.
Surprised there's not more books written about Jude than what they are, because it's so jam-packed. A few years ago, I started to write something to put it out there, and I kind of wish I'd have went ahead and finished it because I've done a whole bunch of study in it. No, it's not too late. That's for sure. Yes, sir. Yep, Christians ought to be the spokesman, the contender of the faith. And if you think about it, we are the great physician's only helper, so if we don't do it, who's going to do it? People of the world? That doesn't make sense. It's Christian people is the way it is done. We've got to contend for the faith. Those are some good reasons. Yes, ma'am. Yep.
Yes.
We practice it, teach it, preach it, live it, we have eternal life. These are some good reasons why we must continue in the apostles' doctrine. There's some others that could probably pull out of Scripture as well, but these cover it pretty well. Define number 10, we've already answered, define fellowship. The second part of number 10 is, does fellowship involve giving or sharing of goods?
Yes.
One of the things we'll learn in Acts chapter 2, as we get a few more verses down, we'll see that it seems to be apparent they were doing a little of that. Then we get on over another couple of chapters over, it expressly says that, because they had all things common. That meant they shared what they have, and it talks about that. If somebody had a need of something, they'd go borrow it from another. The needs were met. And, of course, it's expanded a lot more than just handing somebody something. Number 11 says, from the following verses, name the things which a Christian cannot have fellowship. So letter A, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Yep. And what is the reason it gives in that passage? Because of darkness, right? Or unrighteousness. He gives a reason. He gives the reason for it, not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what common communion rather hath light with darkness? And this occasionally becomes a verse of controversy, and I think it's far deeper than what I grew up learning. And but I think it goes beyond marriage. Used to, that's all you ever heard taught about this verse. I don't think it's limited to that at all, especially when that's not necessarily in the context of what the passage is. But I do believe it's talking about if you have put yourself in a situation to where you're having somebody dragging you over to the side, you need to unyoke. You need to get away from it. You have yoked yourself with somebody, with an unbeliever. They're dragging you off into the unrighteousness and into the darkness. Yes, sir.
Two things. First, about I've heard it, as you said, discussed about marriage. But if you read what it says about a woman who's Christian being married to a non-Christian, talks about through her chasteness that she can influence him to become a Christian.
That is true. And it's been done. It's not 100%, but
so if a non-Christian cannot be married to a Christian, then they would have been specified date.
Well, like you said, if you have to be strong, not let yourself be dragged off the path. It needs to go by the way. You're trying to pull them on
the path. Well, I've said. Well, you look, the encouragement he gives you back up a few verses. Verse 11, oh, ye Corinthians, our mouth is open to you and our heart is enlarged. You are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. And then he says, for a recompense in the same. I speak as unto children. And that you be also enlarged. And then verse 14 we just read. And then now, and what concord hath a Christian with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? So you kind of get the idea that he's presenting there. And why are you butting up to the world and otherwise? Why are you trying to mess with this stuff? Why, we understand Belial, the idea given there, what hath Christ with Belial? What does Christ have business with playing with devils, in other words? Well, that's one of the, a general term for Belial is the devil. Demonic realm. That's kind of a generic short term for that. It may even say devil in some other translations, I don't know. But then, he goes on to argue that point down here with the, lost my place. There we go. And, what are you doing with an unbeliever, with an infidel? And then, verse 16, Then he says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? So now you're talking about polluting the worship. And then for what are the temple? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So think about it. Now he's really stressing the idea you got to be separate. So if you're yoked together, that's not being separate. So I've even termed this before as saying if you've got the clean, unclean, verse 17, and then, being what you ought to be, verse 18. I've even said that if you have a job that pulls you away from Christ, you need to get rid of that job. You're yoked to the wrong thing. That can go in many places in life. Our friends, wouldn't that be being, as he said there, verse 15, our friends that we keep? Why would a believer be with an infidel? That'd be, to me, I look at that as friendships and fellowships that we shouldn't be having because they're going to pull us away if we're not careful. Or they will pull us in the wrong direction. Just talking about situations of where you get into a situation because you're just there. You blindly walked into something. I don't think he's talking about that. I think he's talking about common things that you're having with other people. Because of the yoking part, you're there because you're there on purpose. It's not you stumbled up on something, otherwise you wouldn't be yoked to it. There's just all kinds of things there to me that says, be careful, don't flirt with unrighteousness, don't flirt with darkness. I think that's the point of the passage. Evidently, they didn't understand that too well because he says, I got to talk to you like children so that you understand what I'm saying. Yep.
And that's the same thing about if, for example, if the local government was going to have something and wanted all the congregations to be us to be a part of it as a religious type service, we couldn't be, as I understand, if I understand what this is talking
about. Yeah, I agree. That'd be going into the idolatrous temple, wouldn't it? To add to the Belial thing there, Belial can be equated to Satan in some realms, but the physical, I guess, meaning of the word, the way I understand it, is worthless or wicked. Worthless or wicked. So why be part of it? Christ has no business with that.
Well, I have been doing some side reading on who's who in the Old Testament. And, they tell a lot about, when they came in Nebuchadnezzar and took Jerusalem and took them to Babylon. And then, of course, they married non-Jewish women. And then they put out the order that you are to divorce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got it in two places. It's the same event, but you got listed in two places. Nehemiah, I don't know which. Sound like you're in Nehemiah.
Yeah, it was Nehemiah.
And also in Ezra.
Ezra. Yeah.
Ezra come. What I find interesting about Ezra, see, you've got the list in Nehemiah. Then in Ezra, you get over to chapter, I think it's 10. May be wrong on the chapter 10 or 11. And this event is recalled, and he really gets on them because they didn't do what they said they was going to do in putting away and separating. And so it's an interesting thing there. And the idea is really just to put away the uncleanliness from your life, separating, because you are different, as Titus would tell us.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Because I had a friend, he was, Jewish, and my friend was Christian, but she wanted to marry him.
Yeah, they wanted a proselyte or to be converted. Part of the problem with the people after they were carried away from into Babylon was they eventually put away the word of God, quit teaching it. This group of people, which Ezra, and there's a list of those folks that's in Nehemiah, that I believe it's in Nehemiah, that kept it up.
Ezekiel, and so the parts of Ezekiel, when he's told to prophesy, this is the way God looked at it. He looked at it as the fact that they weren't doing what they were supposed to do. He looked at it and he referred to it as horrible.
Yeah.
They had gone after strange gods and things like that.
It was that detestable to him.
Was that how they spelled H-O-R? Because I kept seeing the H-O-R word.
I'd have to go back and see. Yeah, there's a city with that spelling.
Well, it was at Capitalized. But just another little sidetrack. I got through the E's. Do you know there's no else?
In
the book? Yeah. Do you know of anybody in the Old Testament name starting?
Probably not. Where are we at? Letter B. B. We're on B now. Ephesians 5:11. Christian cannot have fellowship with
fruits
or works of darkness. And then the question is asked, why? Why should we not associate these things? Exactly. They'll pull you away back into the world. Pull you away from the truth, or we might say, in the context of our lesson, the apostles' doctrine.
And also an example to other people.
Yes. It's been said that the sermon that's preached by everyone may not be used with words. It is is the way you act and the way you conduct yourself, and that is the truth, because that's maybe some that maybe the only thing that some will see, and the only lesson they will ever hear.
Back to the unequal yoke. Back years ago, when people would use teams of mules of horses, they always tried to get them to match in size, and so therefore one would not be carrying the other's weight.
Yeah, there's nothing more aggravating than having a pair and one's pulling, the other's getting lazy on you. Yeah, there you go. Get back his collar. What's interesting about it too, with the example of the mule or a oxen or whatever, I've been told that one oxen pulling by himself will wear himself down really quick, because they'll pull as hard as they can. But then you put them, pair them with somebody, or pair them with another oxen or mule, that they will not pull to their full ability, but they'll each pull to three quarters or even half their ability, and they'll end up pulling more than each one could pull added together individually. That's interesting, isn't it? So in other words, it's easier on them to pull together. Even if they're not putting their full effort into it, they can do more work. There you go. Peer pressure.
Yeah.
Peer pressure, always be at your best. And that's the good kind of peer pressure. In college, when we was talking about morality, they talked about what kind of a moral person, you know, that you can be, so on and so forth. And so they define morality for the individual as what you are when nobody's looking. And I thought, yeah, that's probably about right. What you are when nobody's looking. But it's an important concept of not being yoked, not being yoked with evil works or flirting with the works of darkness. There's a reason it's darkness. And we know that according to 1 John that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all, he says. And not only does he make the argument about light and darkness in that chapter, he says if we have fellowship with the light, then we are pleasing him, we're pleasing in his sight. Number 12, can we have fellowship with the apostles?
Yes, fellowship with God is an example of fellowship with God.
Yep.
It says, how can we have fellowship? So how about it through the word?
Right. Yep, through the word. I read it the same way you read it the first time. How can we have fellowship with God and one another?
If everybody's walking in the light.
There you go. Everybody's walking in the light. Because that goes back to us minding the same thing. Unity. And unity is in the light. And maintaining that fellowship. Number 13. And name some ways in which we have fellowship in the gospel, according to Philippians 1 and verse 7. With missionaries in the field.
Have someone in heart, in their heart and minds.
Mm-hmm. We can do it with dollars. That is supporting, because Paul was supported
prayers.
By different congregations. Prayers. Very important thing to have. To make sure that they're in the forefront of God, in front of God, by us offering them up in prayer. I wrote down supply support. This is what I mean. What I mean with that is, you know, there's been times we went over to see different missionaries look like pack mules when we come in. We brought them supplies. Some of them were classroom supplies. Sometimes it was a favorite food. I believe it was Cy, he liked peanut butter. He didn't like peanut butter they had over there. So sometimes we'd get those big old tubs and they'd go in a book bag or in a separate case. And so we'd take haul over peanut butter. And Granny, his mother-in-law that lived over there, she liked Dorito, certain flavor Dorito chips they couldn't get over there. So we took like 10 bags. But then... On the other hand, many times, most of what we took were supplies that they could distribute to the church. Until I got as big as I am, the clothes that went over did not come back. Left them for the locals, for them to redistribute to the needy saints. Church people got them. We took shampoo and all kinds of things. All these end up benefiting the church, believe it or not. Benefiting the missionaries because they can use these things to be able to get people's interest, to be able to get to them. The Richardsons, one of the things that we used to do, we probably should get back into it more, is Linda Ann and different ones here. They would do for the VBSs, you know, like when they went to Ghana and Jamaica and different places, they spend weeks putting together VBS materials. Like if they're going to do little cutouts, well, they're going to have 100 kids at a time, so they're cutting these out for every lessons and doing all that stuff. And so that's what I'm talking about with supply support. Supplies they need to be able to do the lessons and be able to do the work. One of the things we do, that we go back to Tanzania, one of the things I do is take extra money to go buy cases of Bible so they'll have tools to hand out to people that they're doing Bible studies with. We don't think a lot about, especially about Bibles over here, because everybody's got one, it seems. Or they're so readily available, you can buy them at Walmart, that you can even buy them at the dollar store. You can buy them everywhere here. You can't do that all over the world. What's that? Yeah, you can. You can't do that all over the world. And sometimes we can help supply, give them support in that way, not only through our dollars, but also through prayer. And keeping them in our heart, as Paul talked about that in that verse, keeping them in our heart and memory. There's all kinds of things we can do to support them and share with them in the faith. One of the things that some of the missionaries like is just communication, outside communication. And think about how the communication has changed in our world from year to year. My first trip, 2004, out of the country. It was 2003, out of the country. I didn't call back home because it was super expensive. And in places we were at, it was unavailable. You just couldn't do it. Then the next trip, 2004, we get email, do emails. The next trip, whatever year it was, we found out that we could do phone calls, but that'd be like, $4 a minute or something like that. And another, it just kept getting better and better. And now I go over there, it doesn't cost me anything, and I can call there if I want to. And you can't hardly tell the difference.
He was talking about communication when I was going down to Suriname. If they could make $2 or $3 a month U.S., they'd feed their whole family. That's what they were trying to do. And what was interesting was nobody had telephones. I mean, that was just... But when we would go down, everybody knew that we were coming. All the officials at the airport, they all knew that we were coming because of the word of God. It was interesting. That was something that always amazed me, is how they... Everybody knows in their own way.
Yep. It's a neat thing. We was in India. That wasn't that many years ago. It was amazing how easy it was to communicate back over here. Then it was Facebook and whatever else you want to use, social media. But nonetheless, there's a less of an excuse of why we can't communicate with these folks. Less of an excuse than what it once was. Letter writing is, for something like that, is probably a thing of the past now. Number, what time? We'll do one more and then we'll... let's just stop here. Because I think this will be a good one for us to have some good discussion on. Several mentioned. Be thinking about it. What are some reasons why we believe that there's such a lack of fellowship among Christians today? Hope you'll be able to give that some thought between now and next week, which you probably already have given it thought. Any questions before we, as we close?
Do you want us to start on the lesson 8 in the next lesson?
Yeah, we'll get into lesson 8 next time.